Well, this morning, the focus of our time, the focus of our sermon is on something that we all share in as human beings, something we all have in common. It's part of the human condition that afflicts us all and that we all come up against in our day-to-day life. Today, we're talking about fear. Talking about fear today. And this is something that just we humans do. We fear. Sometimes, I don't know if it's rooted in kind of a self-preservation survival instinct, but we have a way about us that if there is a potential for any harm to come, we sure focus on that potential of what could happen. And our minds tend to run off to what ifs and what could this be and worst case scenarios. And sometimes it's rooted in something that's real. And sometimes, even if there's nothing real, our minds will make up fears for us to focus on. And I'm sure we could all relate to that feeling in the middle of the night. You wake up, and you've got a pain somewhere in your body. And your mind starts running off, like, am I having a heart attack? Is it a tumor? And fear kind of rolls over us. And that's something that, those sort of emotions of fear of the what if and what could happen, about all these things that are outside of our control, of something that could happen at the job or something that could happen to my family or something that might happen to my health. These fears that we face, that's something that we all have in common. I'm convinced that the person with all the resources and the richest person, with the one percenter with everything at the tip of his fingers, still faces fear in the same way that the person at their wit's end don't have two pennies to rub together also experiences fear, something we all face, fear in the unknown, fear in this thing that's out of my control, fear of what could happen to me. So this morning we're talking about fear, specifically dealing with fear in our lives. We're going to address this by looking at the life of Joshua. We're in week two of a series where we're studying the life of Joshua. We're looking at living out a courageous faith. Joshua is a man that lived for God. He followed God and he lived out a courageous faith. And so we're going to be talking about that today as we're in the second week in this series looking at Joshua. Last week, as we begin this series, we're going to start today in Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 1. So you can go ahead and turn there in your Bibles if you want to get started there now. Joshua 1:1 is where we're starting today. Series St. Tom, this is week 2 and we're starting with Joshua 1:1. Well, then what was last week? Well, last week we actually begin in Numbers 13 and 14, because that tells the account about how the nation of Israel, after God had freed them from slavery in Egypt, had guided them to the promised land. He says, I'm taking you guys somewhere. I'm taking you to this land. I'm going to give you. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's filled with blessing. I'm going to hand it over to you. And so last week we saw that the nation of Israel, after all God had done for them, got to the very edge of the promised land. They sent in some spies to check out the promised land to see if it was good. The spies came back with reports and said, yeah, it's good, but holy cow, the people there are big. And their walls are strong. Their armies are mighty. There's no way we're taking this land. And they refused to go in. And the reason we're talking about this, Joshua was one of those 12 spies. Joshua and Caleb were the two spies in the group that said, are you guys crazy? God is giving us this land. They wanted to go in. God told them to go in, yet the nation of Israel rebelled and said, we're not going in because there's no way we win this fight. They refused to trust God. And their consequence, because of that, God said, all right, fine, you will never enter this land. Every one of you, all the adults, are you guys going to wander the desert for 40 years until every one of you passes away except for Joshua and Caleb. And then your children will get to go into the promised land. You guys will not get to experience the promised land. So last week we talked about how the danger that we as God's people face when we don't trust God, we have the danger of missing out on his blessing, missing out on the benefits of God when we're unwilling to trust him in the face of those obstacles. So that was last week. And so today we flash forward 40 years from that occurrence. So 40 years later, in the story of God working in the midst of his people, 40 years of them wandering through the desert, being led by God until they've all passed away. And now here we are, it's Joshua, it's Caleb, and it's the nation of Israel. They're back again at the same point. They're right back on the edge of the promised land that God says, I am giving you. And that's where we pick up our story today. And one very different thing that's going on today than 40 years ago is now Moses is no longer on the scene. Moses had always been their leader. He'd been the one that God talked to, and then he talked to the people. Moses was a very important figure in this. Moses, along with everyone else, has now passed away. And now God has put Joshua in charge. So this is Joshua we're talking about. Now he's in charge following Moses. How big is that, right? You don't want to be the guy following the guy. He's following Moses to lead the nation of Israel. So God has put Joshua in a very fearful position. There is lots of reasons for him to be fearful right now. He's following Moses. He's supposed to lead Israel into the promised land. And just to give you a little scope of what we're talking about here, when we're picturing Israel, I kind of picture, you know, Joshua standing in the midst of about 200 people calling out to him, "All right, guys, here's what we're going to do." In reality, the Bible tells us in Numbers 26, there was 600,000 men in Israel at the time. So that's 600,000. Long Beach has 500,000 people. So imagine if you were in charge of Long Beach. And not just that, but that's just men. So there's also women and children. So realistically, it's probably a couple million people that he's in charge of. So imagine being in charge of Long Beach times four. And not just that, but imagine you're in charge of Long Beach times four, but there's no houses, there's no roads, there's no sewer system, there's no, you're in charge of these people, and all the needs that need to be met, all the details that go into that, when God said, tells Joshua, "You're in charge," imagine what was going through his head. I know the, when I have a little bit of open-endedness in my life, how my brain just processes it over and over, and it goes to fear, and I respond in fear when there's little bits of unknowns. Imagine what Joshua was facing when God tells him, "You are now in charge. You will lead my people into the promised land." Not only that, but there's all these armies in the promised land. There's these nations coming up against them, and you think, well, they must be pretty good. They got 600,000 people, mostly agricultural. They weren't a fighting nation. They were coming up against these huge armies with fortified walls. This huge campaign was ahead of them, and these nations are trying to attack them, and all this stuff going on. And God says, "Hey, Joshua, you're in charge." So imagine the fear that Joshua was feeling, the what ifs that were going on in his brain, the worst case scenarios that were playing out in him. And we know from the Bible that Israel was not an easy people to lead. They were quick to complain, quick to turn on their leader, quick to turn on God. They were kind of some belly achers and whiners. They weren't a let's go get it done people. They were like, "Eh, I don't know," kind of people. And so this was a hard job that he was called into. So that's where we pick up our story today, Joshua 1:1, where God has put Joshua in this extremely fearful situation of leading now, taking over for Moses to lead his people into the promised land. Let's read together now what God says to Joshua 1:1 in the midst of this fearful situation. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites.'" So similar language as 40 years ago, "the land I'm giving you. 'I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west.'" Isn't that interesting? All the descriptors. This is a physical place. This isn't a fairy tale. This is a place in time and history. All right. So this is the boundaries of the land God is giving them. Verse 5. "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." Verse 7, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." All right, our main point this morning that we're getting from this passage and talking about together, our central truth is this, that I can follow God with strength and courage because God is with me. I can follow God with strength and courage because God is with me. So God tells Joshua here over and over and over. He says it three times in this section and once more in this chapter. Four times in this chapter, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful, on and on. Verse 9, be strong. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? And just for good measure, all the way down to verse 18, whatever you, it ends with this, only be strong and courageous. God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous in the midst of this crazy situation. Be strong and courageous. And the reason why he could be strong and courageous, he said, because I will be with you. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm going to be with you. He says that every time he says be strong and courageous, he says the reason, because God will be with him. So that's the command for Joseph to Joshua, is to be strong and courageous because God will be with him. So that's for him. What about for us? So I didn't say Joshua could be strong and courageous because God is with him. I said I can follow God with strength and courage because God is with me. Often following God is going to lead us into scary situations. It's going to lead us into situations wrapped in uncertainty and what ifs and what could go wrong, and ultimately into fear. When God calls us into something, it's God, the God I know, doesn't provide all the answers up front. It usually means come follow me, and we're going to figure this thing out along the way together, and it means following him. And so just like when God called Joshua into this fearful situation, when God calls us into a fearful situation, I can respond in strength and courage. Because it's hard doing the right thing, right? When God asks us to do the right thing, when God asks us to do something, it's typically a hard thing to do. Because if it wasn't hard, God wouldn't have to ask us to do it, right? If God's never commanded me to eat a bowl of ice cream. Because I just do that on my own. He doesn't need to tell me to do that. But he commands us to do hard things. He puts it on our heart. And sometimes it's a big life-changing decision that he may ask us to do. May ask us to work in our life. This big life-changing thing. And it's hard. It's going to be wrapped up in fear. And the temptation is to be to respond in fear and no and worry. But instead, I can be strong and courageous because he is with me. Other times, it may be a really simple, right at this moment sort of decision. Not a life decision, but go talk to this person right now. Have you ever felt that leading? Go talk to this person right now. And know what the response is? At least I'll tell you what my response is. Fear. Oh, what am I going to say? It's going to be so awkward. And what am I missing the cues here? And this isn't right. And fear, 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 fear. Because it's hard to do the right thing. It's hard to step up when someone else is doing wrong and to correct them on it. It's hard to step in a situation and insert yourself in a situation that you know you're supposed to do because of what could go wrong in that situation. So these are fearful situations. And the theme of God's message to Joshua is the same theme that we could look at for our own lives today, is that I can follow God with strength and courage because he's with me. So City Lights Church, I want us to get this today. I want us to understand this. You as a child of God, God has his hand on you. You don't have to live life in fear. You don't have to live in fear because you are God's child. He has his hand on you. You get to respond in strength and courage. You as a child of God, he has his hand on you. We don't have to live life in fear. How can I say this? Why can I say this? This central truth has two main components to it that we're going to look at. We're going to dive deeper into these two components. The first component is this. When I'm faced with a fearful situation that God has called me into, God has asked me to do something that produces fear in me, first we're going to talk about is my reaction to that. When God calls me in to a fearful situation, how do I react? The first part of this truth is my reaction. And my reaction is this. Courage. This is how I get to react. I can react in courage. When God asks me to do something that produces fear in me, I can respond, I can react in courage. And so I also put a definition of courage in my own, or clarification about courage in my own words here. When I say courage, it's not the absence of fearful situations, but the willingness to proceed in the midst of fearful situations. Let me say that again. When I'm talking about courage isn't just living in the absence of fearful situations. It's a being willing to a willingness to respond to proceed in the midst of fearful situations. See, courage isn't living without fear. That's not courage. If there's no fear, then there's no courage. Courage is being willing to proceed through fear. When you feel that fear, that's when courage actually steps up. It's when I'm afraid, I'm fearful, but I'm going to respond anyways. That's courage. It's not letting the fear stop you. If there's no fear, then there's no, that's not courage. If there's no fear, that's not courage. Along with courage, fear is necessity. So when the fear is there and I'm willing to respond through that, if I'm still willing to proceed through that, that is courage. And let me just point out, following God, we will face fearful situations. When God calls us to do something, the what ifs will assault your mind. They're going to come at you. The worst case scenario is always going to be in play. When you're following God, that worst case scenario is always going to be in play about how everything could fall on his face and you can end up in a bad spot and your family could be in a bad spot, all that. The worst scenario is always in play. But courage is proceeding anyways. Being willing to follow God with strength and courage. Courage is proceeding anyways. So my reaction is courage. And this is important for us to know because often we may think, well, I'm going to follow God so I won't have to run into fearful situations because God's so good at taking care of me. Here's the thing. God's path doesn't lead us around those fearful situations. It's usually right through a fearful situation. And here's the thing. Following God doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to you. Because we're thinking, well, my fear is based on what if this bad thing happens. So therefore, if I can follow God through this in courage, that means there's no way that bad thing will happen. That's not what I'm saying. That bad thing still might happen as we follow God through this fearful situation. You may lose your job. It may be cancer. The disaster may hit. Like, these experiences might still happen. But here's the thing. We don't need to fear in the midst of that because God will see us through it. So it's not saying the bad thing won't happen, but it's a promise that God says, I will see you through that thing. I will make sure you're okay through this. This is language that we find all over the New Testament as well. As the apostles, the original church, as they're following God in the midst of all these fearful situations, does that mean no bad thing ever happened to them? Are you kidding me? All kinds of bad stuff happened to them. Most of them end up crucified and killed and burned and martyred. But yet they praise God through the whole thing. In Acts, we find John and Peter in prison. They'd been whipped and beaten and locked up in prison. That's something bad, right? That's something I would fear that would happen. Did God save them from that happening? No, it actually happened. They got whipped and beaten and put in prison. But know what they were doing in prison? Singing praise songs. Because God had saved them through it. He saved them from experiencing bad in the midst of the bad. And then they got out of prison. He made an earthquake and they got to leave prison. So you could say, well, God did save them from it because he brought them out of it. Yeah, but after they'd been whipped and beaten. Like, if it were me, I'd be like, let's do the earthquake before the flogging. But again, God saved them in the midst of that. Keep your finger in Joshua, because we're going to be spending our time in Joshua. Check out 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 10. This is such a good picture of what God does in our life, how God keeps us in the midst, the reason we don't need to fear. 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 8. That's not right. Oh, no, that was 5. There we go. 4, verse 8. Yes, here we are. Chapter 4, verse 8. Check out this. This is Paul writing from his own experience, and they could all share in this together as they're following God in the midst of these fearful situations. Verse 8. This is their experience. It says, we are hard-pressed on every side. Have you been there? Not just one side, but we feel like it's coming from all sides. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Awesome. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. God sees us through those hard times. So the reason I don't have to fear is because God is with us. He'll take care of it. And it's not saying bad stuff will never happen, but that he'll see us through those bad things. So that they're saying, even when we're hard-pressed on every side, we're not crushed. Even though we're struck down, we'll get right back up again. It's fine. We got this. And there's a confidence in God and a reason that our reaction can be courage. Okay, so The first part of that central truth is my reaction. When God calls me into a fearful situation, I can react with courage, a willingness to respond despite the fear I feel, to proceed through those fearful feelings I have. Well, why? The second part is the reason. Why I can respond with courage. Why do I get to have courage? Why do I get to react with courage? My reason is this. My reason for courage is this. My courage is based on my confidence that God is with me. My confidence that God is with me. So that's the second part of that central truth. The first is the reaction. The second is the reason for that reaction. That God is reason. God is with me. The reason God gave for Joshua to be strong and courageous, because in verse 5, he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. The reason he can be strong and courageous, because God is going to be with him. And again in verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The situation didn't change one bit. The armies were still standing over there. There were just as many mouths to feed on the Israelites. All the issues were still there. All the logistics that had to be figured out were still there. All the what-ifs were still there. All the worst-case scenarios were still in play. But the one thing that changes all of it, God says, but I'm going to be with you. Conquering the land, yeah, you're going to have to conquer the land. But I'll be with you. Take care of all these people, lead this, you know, couple million people. Yeah, but I'll be with you. Take on all these armies coming after you and trying to take your stuff. Yeah, but I'll be with you. And that changes everything. That's the reason for the courage. It's not because there's an answer in play. It's not because I can figure this thing out. It's not because I can see how this could work out if everything lines up right. No, because God is with you. That's why he can have courage. Joshua's in a pretty good position here, right? Like, man, how cool. Joshua, God told him, hey, I'm going to be with you. What would that do to our faith if God said that? Hey, I'm going to be with you. You got this. All right, you ready for something cool? So in verse 5, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says those words to Joshua, valuable words to cherish. If I'm Joshua, I'm not a tattoo guy, but I'd be like, tattoo, I got that. I'm not forgetting that one. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says this. This is written to us. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 are written to us. Be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. God has said those same words to you. He's made that same commitment to you that he made to Joshua. I will be with you. I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. God has made that commitment to us. And this is so important because it recalls to mind Romans 8:31, where it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, think of the confidence that brings that God is on my side, that God is with me. With God's on our side, we got nothing to fear. I can follow God courageously because I have confidence that I'm confident that he's with me. If God is with me, I don't got to worry about nothing. Those fears got no play in me in my life because God is with me. His presence changes everything. No hardship, no negative result can change that. He says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Later on in Romans 8:35, in that same Romans 8 section that I was talking about, with God is for us, who can be against us? It says, who should separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? He lists all these hardships, all these what ifs, all these things that could go wrong. And he says, you know what? Even in the midst of all that, nothing can separate you from God because of the love of Christ. He's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us, no matter what we face. In the context of all these hardships, we can follow God with courage because nothing we face will separate us from God and separate from his presence. God is with us. And the reason I can take courage is, one, because of that truth, but two, because of my confidence in that truth. That could be all true. But if I don't believe it, if I don't really believe it, then my response will again be fear and giving into fear. Courage comes from a confidence that God is with me. And no matter what I face, that won't separate me from God, that God is with me, that his presence is there with me. That changes everything if I believe it, the confidence I put in it. That's again why the Bible talks over and over about our faith. The faith is such an important part of our walk with him. So it's only as relevant as much as we believe it, that we have confidence in it. Okay. So those are the two parts of that statement that our central truth, that I can follow God with strength and courage because God is with me. That's our main point. I want us to take home. I want us to wrap our minds around God. I can follow God with strength and courage because God is with me. And but then in this account where God's talking to Joshua in Joshua 1, he makes something important. He makes some important distinctions about this life of following God courageously that we need to see. And because if we stop right here, we're going to miss the point. This is a very important part of this. Because if this doesn't match up with your life, you say, well, I believe God is with me, and I believe those things are true, but I still experience a lot of fear. Okay, well, this part's important in this. The setting for how this takes place in our life. The setting for courage from confidence in God's presence. If our courage is based on our confidence in God's presence, what's the setting that encourages that in my life? What setting is needed for me to practice that, to do that? Okay, the setting for confidence in God's presence is a life of obedience to him. The setting for confidence in God's presence, that's where we get our courage from, right? In the fearful situation. The setting for confidence in God's presence is a life of obedience to him. Check out verse 7 of what God says. God's own words to Joshua. Be strong and very courageous. Yes. Then he says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. He doesn't leave it there. He goes even further. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So he says, important in this, he makes a point of saying, be sure that you're obeying God's word. Be sure that you're obeying what I'm commanding you. Be sure that you're living in obedience to me. Do not turn from the left to the right. If this is the path, don't go that way, don't go that way. Straight down the path. Obedience, the life of obedience. And before you say, well, Tom, what you're really saying is unless we live perfect, we can't experience freedom from fear, and yet sin is a reality in our life, therefore this is all relevant because we won't actually experience it because there is some level of disobedience in us. I'm not saying what he's talking about is following God in this. That as we're following God in a life of obedience, along the path there's going to be hiccups and bumps. But for us, the confidence comes when we're following God in a life of obedience. So when I'm talking about a life of obedience, I'm saying a directional thing, following God. Sometimes along that, right, we have little hiccups. And when we do, we suffer consequences in our life. But yet, this is talking about following God in a life of obedience to him. And he says, if we do this, if we can commit ourselves to this, the end of verse 7, that you may be successful wherever you go. That you may be successful wherever you go. Success is based on this, that we're willing to be obedient to God and follow him and his leading in our life. And this is an important distinction. Here's why this matters. Okay, let's bring it back to us and how we respond in our humanness. This is an important distinction. Confidence in God's presence to deliver you from fear. So it's talking about that we can have confidence in God's presence to deliver us from fear when we're walking in obedience. So it's talking about within the context of a life of obedience, I get to have courage through fear because God is with me. What this is not saying is that within the context of a life of full-on disobedience where I'm just doing my own thing, I get to say, hey, I don't have to fear because God is with me. It didn't actually say that. It's not saying that. It's not saying live any old way. I do all that I want to do. I'm the boss of me, and then God bless this mess. Make sure nothing bad happens to me. I don't want to have fear. It's not saying that. This isn't saying follow your dreams no matter what. If there's something that you want to do, go ahead and do it. Consequences be darned, because God is with you. You don't have to fear anymore. Don't live life in fear and go follow your dream. It's not saying that. This isn't a reason to follow your dream. It's saying following God. We don't have to fear when following God because God is with us in that. It's not saying you never have to fear anything, that no bad thing will happen. But it is saying that if you follow God in obedience, then you don't have to fear the consequences. You won't have to fear what could come about because God will see you through it. We love to quote, if God is for us, who can be against us? And then we leave out the obedience part. Are we that sure God is for you in the decisions you're making? When God is saying do this and you know darn well you're doing that instead, Can we claim that? Well, if God is for us, who can be against us? No weapon against me shall prosper. If God is for us. But can we claim that if we're walking in disobedience to what God is asking us to do? This is a call to us that we don't have to respond in fear that when we're following God. That I can follow God without fear. It's not saying I can just do anything I want without fear. It's not saying that. So I want to correct that in us, that willingness to say, oh, well, maybe this is saying that I'm going to go ahead and quit my job and just trust that lottery ticket. Tomorrow's, that's going to be the one because God is with me. And a lost ticket is a weapon formed against me. She'll not prosper. So this passage is not saying reject all fear. It's not saying that there will never be fear in our lives. It is saying that we can follow God without fear. See the distinction there? That we can follow God without fear. That as we are following God, we have no reason to fear. But if we're living in disobedience to God, well, then you got plenty of reason to fear. If you're just living in disobedience to Him and doing your own thing, we've got plenty of reason to fear. If living in sin, we should fear the consequences of those sin. Then if we're living in sin, then one of the consequences in our life is we will have fear. If following self and the Lord if the self is the Lord of my life and it's just all about what I want, then probably should fear what may come of that, where that could lead. We miss it so much. We are so afraid to follow God because what it might do in our life, like where God might lead me. If I follow Him fully in these big decisions, there's a lot of fear that comes with that. And we won't follow God because we're afraid of the fear of what may come with that. And instead, what we do, we follow ourself and we think what's plans best for me. And know what that results in? Fear. Right? Worry. Concern. I don't know how this is going to go. And the result is fear. And the path away from fear, a way of living in fear, is one that's trusting God, which looks really scary and fearful. But yet that's the path where we don't experience fear, that where we experience freedom from fear. When I'm following God fully, I know God is with me, I'm confident of that, therefore I can reject those fears and respond in courage in the midst of that, because I know He's with me. Obedience is a big part of that, is the confidence that God is with me. So the setting of responding in courage, the setting of confidence that God is with me, is obedience to God's words. What's the next setting? The setting for a life of obedience to God. So if that's an important part of this, obedience to God is an important part of experiencing this courage in the midst of fearful situation. Well, what's the setting for that? The setting for a life of obedience to God is continual focus on God's word. Continual focus on God's word. Check out verse 8. Again, so he just said in verse 7, be careful that you obey everything in my law. Verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything in it so that you'll obey it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Notice the continual language in this. So he says, I want you not just to read my word and be familiar with my word. He says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Like it's just always on the tip of your tongue. Always running through your mind. Meditate on it day and night. Again, this continual language. Not describing the Bible as something to be read, but something to read. Not something that is something that, well, I read that once and I'm done with that. But something to be continually going over, continually meditating on, continually focus on God's word. And the result when we do this, it says, then you'll be careful to do everything written in it. That as we do that, obedience is the result. It's going to happen. He's like, oh, Tom, I just can't. Obedience isn't my thing. Well, I say, try being in your word more. And it will. It'll just kind of happen. And the result of that, then you'll be prosperous and successful. It says again, same result, prosperous and successful. Be successful? How awesome would that be? I mean, we'll try anything for success, right? Whatever the daytime show says, oh, I'll try that. Cut this stuff out of my diet and I'll feel better? Yeah, success, I'll try that. Read that book? Okay, I'll try that. We'll try all kinds of things for success. How about try this one? Continual focus on God's word, so be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. How about that for a plan for success? One of the greatest enemies of this is our thoughts, our pride, that, yeah, I kind of already did that. I've read that before. I know what it talks about in that book, and I know what it talks about in that book. And yeah, I've already tried that. I'm done with that. That's for the beginners. I'm more advanced than that. That's Christianity 101. I'm more like graduate level 401 sort of stuff that I'm on. So I'm kind of past that. But remember the language. It's this continual. Focus on it day and night. Meditate on it. Keep it on your lips. It's this continual running it over. And I can tell you from experience, as someone with a seminary degree, I still get something every time I go back to the Word. Something I've read over and over and over, and I open it again, and it's like, and it just hits me from the Spirit, right? Hits me like, straight from the inside, from the Spirit of God, jumps off the page at you, and it's like, oh my gosh, thank you God for that. And that never happens if I think, oh, I already read that book. 1988, I read that one. Done with that. And we pridefully think we don't need that anymore. But this is part of the continual walking with God. It's important for us that we live a life of obedience. It's important for us when we're following God that we can follow Him with courage, with strength. And that's one of the reasons we're starting this Bible study, this Tuesday night Bible study. We talk about the Word of God here on Sunday mornings, and that's important. I feel like it's happening here. But there's so much more to be done. And I want us to have a place where we could come together and sit around a table together and open our Bibles together and read it together and talk about it together and study together. And I want you to be there because you'll be better for it. The church will be better for it and you'll be better for it. And we're going to read a chapter that you've already read before. And you're going to learn something new from it and it's going to impact your life. So there's a sign up in the back. It's a yellow sheet on a paper back there. Sign up for a Bible study. I know our time is busy. I know we got a lot going on, but if I had, hey, here, hour and a half a week guaranteeing you prosperous and successful, if I put that at the end of this, like, oh, if you do this, you'll be prosperous and successful, we'd all do it then. Let's believe that. Let's live this out. Let's do Bible study together. So that's there's a sign up in the back for that. That's something I want for us as a church to do, just to be able to study God's Word together, get familiar with it together, and grow together in that. Okay. That's going to be starting not this week, but next week, next Tuesday. Okay, so in conclusion, we've got to wrap this up. Our time is out. God does a great job of wrapping this up for us in Joshua verse 9. He wraps up his whole statement to Joshua, and he lays this enormous duty on his feet, this enormous job to do on his feet, and says, you have this enormous thing that you need to do. I know it's fearful, but then he says in verse 9, he wraps it up, have I not commanded you? He says, this is what I'm telling you to do. Follow me in this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you forever, wherever you go. I am so encouraged. I can follow God with strength. I can follow God with courage. Not saying it's going to be the absence of fear, but through that fear I can follow God. Why? Because God is with me. When I'm living the life of obedience, studying God's Word, focusing on God's words, I can live in the confidence of that truth that God is with me. And therefore, I can follow Him with strength and with courage. So my challenge to you is to commit to the path of strength. This is our final film. Commit to the path of strength, following God boldly. Saying yes to God so you know you're walking with God so that you can follow Him boldly. In courage and strength, walking through those fearful situations instead of away from them. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for putting a call on our lives. Thank you that we don't just wander around aimlessly. Thank you that you give us purpose. Thank you that you give us direction. Help us to say yes to you for that purpose and direction. God, there's so many fears. There's so many reasons why that we have for not saying yes to you in moment by moment and day by day and year by year. God, I pray that you would assure us of your presence. Help us to walk in obedience to you so we can live in that confidence that you are with us and therefore we can respond to you with strength and courage. God, I want to be a courageous follower of you. God, I want this to be a courageous church, following you boldly in the face of fear. We continue to follow you. We wouldn't give in and be paralyzed by the what ifs and what could happen, but instead to follow you boldly. Why? Because you are with us. Thank you for the commitment you've made to us, God. We want to respond to commitment to you. In Jesus' name, amen.